The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. In our second lesson for today, there seems to be a fog of menace or desperation or even danger kind of surrounding the reading. Paul, who wrote this, was having some troubles, and more than likely he even wrote this from prison. As hardworking, as dedicated, as intelligent, and faithful as Paul was, Paul still had troubles. The religious leaders wanted him to stop. Paul, as a young man, was a part of those religious leaders, and he was probably the most zealous in going out and finding those who were following the way of Christ, hunting them down and stoning them to death. Also, the civic leaders wanted Paul to stop, or they were wary of him, they were watching him, and many times Paul did end up in prison. There always seemed to be some sort of controversy following Paul as he went from town to town and place to place and spoke to the people. Also too then, this congregation that he's writing to, those people in Corinth, the congregation seemed to have gone haywire. They go in all different directions and they needed to be put back on track. Paul was feeling his mortality. He was feeling the troubles of this world. We too feel our own mortality most of the time. We have aches and pains. We get sick. We get sick with diseases that are life-threatening. We get cancer and heart attacks and strokes. We have financial difficulties. We get crossways with our neighbors. We go through divorce. We have trouble with our parents. We have trouble with our children, and we die. We know our own mortality. And we say that we are Christians. But aren't Christians supposed to escape those things? Aren't Christians not supposed to have trouble? Aren't Christians supposed to be happy all the time? Isn't God supposed to protect Christians? Well, we live still in this world. We live in this sinful world, and we ourselves are also sinful. So these troubles are going to happen. We are still mortal, and one day we will die. And so we live this mortal life here on this earth. But even though we face all of these things, as Christians, we do have a way of dealing with them. Paul writes in this second lesson in our reading for today, "We know Paul has a confidence about him. Even though he faces all of these troubles, all of these struggles that go on, he still has a full confidence." He says, "We know. We know." Paul gains that confidence, I think, or it stemmed from his his conversion. He had that opportunity to talk to Christ. He was actually struck blind in his conversion experience. And he didn't regain his sight then until after he had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, after he had heard that good word. And so Paul gains that confidence from that time of when that Holy Spirit entered into his life. And from that point on, rather than being zealous for hunting down those who followed the way of Jesus Christ, he became the greatest missionary in Christianity. We too have that confidence. We too can say, we know that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We can have that confidence as we live now on this earth. And we gain that confidence first through our baptism. We tangibly feel the things of this earth. We tangibly feel that water that comes upon us. It's wet. And as you know, when infants or young children are baptized, many times they either cry or they fuss a little bit because they feel that water. They feel that shock. But at the same time, we receive that Holy Spirit, that shock into our lives that says, you are my child. And we receive that promise that even though we die, even though we're mortal here on this earth, we will live with God forever. But we tangibly experience that in our baptism. And also too then, as we come to the Lord's table, we tangibly eat the bread. We can taste the wine. But as we eat that bread and the wine, we also consume Christ. Christ comes into us. Christ is present in that meal. And again, as we taste that bread and taste that wine, we can also taste Christ. We can feel Christ coming into us, rejuvenating us, giving us strength, filling us just like a meal should do, but fills us with his presence, assuring us of the forgiveness of sins, and that we have been made righteous in the eyes of God through that cross and that resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we can have that confidence that in this world, even though we face that mortality, even though we face those aches and the pains and sickness, disease and troubles, we can deal with them because we know that this life is not the end. We know that these things that we hold so dear in life are simply fleeting, and that the final glory comes with Christ. Because we know that Christ has gone to the Father's house, and the Father's house has many rooms, and Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. Paul did not get discouraged, even when he was thrown into prison. Paul took that as an opportunity even then to write letters. This letter to the Corinthians more than likely was written as he was sitting in a prison cell. He took that opportunity that even though he was longing for and waiting for his time when he could go home to be with Jesus Christ, he used that time, though, to encourage others. He used that time to, here in this, in Corinthians, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, he gives them that encouragement and he tries to pull them together in their struggles as a congregation. Other letters that he wrote, he encourages the folks, lifts them up, make sure that they are strengthened within our faith. We too, as we live in this world, we know that it is not perfection, that we live in a sinful world, we live in a world that has troubles. But yet we still see glimpses and glimmers of God. Or as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that we see in a mirror dimly. We see that hope that is still yet to come. And we see that glory of God even now within our lives as we live here. And many of you know that God is alive in your hearts. You can feel that strength, or maybe the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. You know that only from the Holy Spirit can those things come. Or maybe you've seen it in some of the miracles that have happened. Maybe you've gone to the doctor and says, the doctor says, you don't have very long to live. There's not much that we can do. But something has happened and you are made healed, made well once again. We see those things or we hear those things, and we know that God is alive and well, even in this world as we know our own mortality. But we still wait with eager longing for that time when Christ will come again and take us home to himself. And as we wait, though, for that time that God comes, we can put that to good use as well then too. Waiting is not the same as loafing. Paul was waiting for the Lord, but that did not stop Paul from going, continue to go from place to place and planting churches, or as he sat in prison to write letters to people to encourage them. We too can use that time in a way to serve God as we wait for the coming of the Lord. There's a lot of lonely people. There are people there are people who need help. There are people who do not have confidence. There are people who are lost. We can use our time as we wait for that coming of Christ to spend time with these people, to give them the hope that we have, to give them the confidence that we have, so that all people may also say, we know, we have the confidence. We know that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.